Yes, it is a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show as the Phillies get set for a series in Milwaukee against the Brewers. Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, how you doing today?
Scott.
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Scott, I know it's still kind of early, but how is Adolis Garcia doing? That's what we really want to know. Didn't look good.
It didn't look good. I don't know, but I think it's safe to say he's going to be out a while if they're going to go make a trade for Derek Hill. But
yeah, that was kind of quick. Yeah.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, because he's played some amazing defense in right field, there's no question he's been a huge asset in that regard, a huge upgrade in that regard. It looked like he was just starting to put it together with the bat here over the last week. So,
yeah, that was tough.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what they say today, but my guess is he'll be out for at least some time.
Scott, what's your first thought? I know you're going to get a chance to start, you know, getting to know him and watch him this weekend, but the trade for Derek Hill, the player he is, you know, I kind of learned more about him, you know, seen him with the White Sox here recently, but it kind of caught me that he's a Dombrowski draft pick from back in the day, so obviously there's familiarity from when he was first drafted in Detroit. He's bounced around, seems like a good defender and someone that could play against lefties. I'm not sure if he's an everyday guy for the next X amount of weeks that we're missing Garcia, but your first thought on Derek Hill and the Phillies acquiring him yesterday?
Yeah, I think all those things you mentioned kind of fit that profile. He's a guy who does defend well, and I think anytime you lose a guy who's a great defender, I think your first inclination is to try to go find somebody who can, you know, who's not going to embarrass you out there in the outfield. And Derek Hill certainly won't. He's a good outfielder. He really is. And, you know, he's also a guy who can play center field, too. So it gives them another option there if they need to. He can run, you know, so if you have a situation late in the game where you need a guy to pinch hit. His career, you know, his numbers aren't that great this year, but his career numbers are decent against lefties. So I think that, you know, that kind of fits checks a certain box that they're looking for. But, you know, he's a good player. He's not Adolis Garcia. He doesn't have that upside potential. But who knows, maybe a different spot for him. I know the White Sox were mostly rolling with younger guys and Derek was just kind of a fourth or fifth outfielder. And, so maybe if he gets a chance to play regularly, maybe there's something in there.
Scott, I'm not sure how the Phillies are going to play this and what they're going to do with the roster. You know, obviously Derek Hill is here. I'm guessing Adolis Garcia goes on the injury list. I did see yesterday Gabriel Rincones Jr., who we've seen in spring training in years past, he was not in the lineup for AAA Lehigh Valley. When you've seen him in AAA over the years, what's your thought on him? Because I feel like he could be maybe an option, too, to help in the outfield, if not now this weekend, but maybe at some point this season. I believe he is on the 40-man roster, so he's kind of on my radar as maybe someone else that could help down the line.
Yeah, I think now that he's back and healthy, the only thing I've seen from him was the start of spring training last year. Looks like a good bat. He's a left-handed bat, so, you know, that doesn't check a certain box, obviously. Because it's pretty lefty heavy lineup. But I do think he's only played, I don't know, he's somewhere in the teens, I don't know, 12, 15 games, something like that. So he's really just getting back from injury. But they like him. And I think he would be an option at some point. You know, if the thing with Derek Hill doesn't work out, maybe they go to Rincones. My guess is he was probably on alert yesterday until the trade was made. So that might have been why he wasn't in the lineup. I don't know. Maybe it was scheduled. You know, he's, again, just kind of coming back from injury. So, but I think he's an option, probably.
Scott Fransky with us here on a Fransky Friday. All right, Scott, let's talk about the series in Toronto. But, and specifically one thing that it's been catching my attention this week and a little bit even before that is Don Mattingly's bullpen usage. And I think it's interesting, and it really depends on how you look at it. I mean, on the one end, I like the aggression using Duran 3 days in a row and getting wins, especially, you know, this team was 9-19, so Don's kind of had to have his foot on the gas since the minute he got this job to get them back to where they are now, which is in a playoff spot. On the other hand, it is only early June, and Duran is a huge part of this thing, and you want to be able to keep him fresh and healthy the whole way. Where do you come down on how Don Mattingly has managed the bullpen? I have felt an aggressiveness from him that when they have a chance to win games, he wins them. I like it. I'm in favor of it. But in the back of my head, I wonder, can this sustain throughout the entire summer that way?
Yeah, we won't know until the entire summer is over if it's a good idea or a bad idea. I wouldn't say using him a third day in a row yesterday or 2 days ago, you know, it didn't really abuse him in any way. I think he threw 9 pitches Monday, 8 pitches Tuesday. So it wasn't it wasn't like he had to grind through a big inning somewhere and then they brought him out for a third day. So that's certainly good. But I totally appreciate the idea of trying to step on the gas and get yourself back in the race, but you're back in the race. And I think you have to still kind of be a little bit measured. Now, he's a guy who, you know, he's always had a reputation to be somewhat aggressive with his bullpen. Part of that is going to turn out to be, or whether they're successful or not, part of that is going to depend on what the guys in the middle of the pen do, right? How well they can sustain. The Kirkerings, Shea Sugar, the lefties out there, Banks, Alvarado, those kind of guys. Because, you know, sometimes they get used even a little bit more because of their covering those big outs in the fifth, the sixth, the seventh inning, that kind of thing. So, he's been going for it. They're back in the race now, and you don't want to do anything silly, I think, and put somebody in jeopardy. But I don't think in this particular case, I don't think he put Duran in jeopardy.
Scott, you mentioned back in the race, and they are, and right now the Phillies occupy one of the wild card spots. They are now within 8 of the Braves, which is probably as close as they've been in a while. It's still going to be a big task to try to catch them. But Scott, I'm curious, where do you come down on the way baseball schedule is? Because when I looked at the standings this morning, I saw 8, and then you realize we still don't see the Braves again for months and months, and not until they come back home and you guys come home on Monday will they see a division team. They'll have a nice run of division games. But, Scott, I feel like we haven't played a division team in over a month. Do you like the way baseball has gone with the schedule where it's more balanced, or did you like it better in the past where you had a heavier segment of games against division teams? Because it's crazy to me we haven't even played the Mets yet, and it's the middle of June.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. And I think it was that way, was it maybe Atlanta or somebody in past year. Year before, I forget.
Yep.
But I don't love it. I kind of thought the idea was to win your division. And in order to sort of establish that, I think you need to beat the teams in your division, and you should play more in your division. But baseball's clearly moving away from that model with more wild card teams, with 3 of them these days. We'll see if anything were to possibly change in the CBA. I don't know that they would get into that kind of thing to muddy the waters even further. But that's usually where you would have to do it. But I always appreciated the idea that you get a little more familiar, you get a little more contempt, if you will, for your divisional rivals and stuff like that. And you have to beat your rivals. You have to beat your teams in your division convincingly in order to win the division. So I was kind of a fan of that.
Scott, this weekend should be a fun series in Milwaukee and, to me, a litmus test series. And this might be the best team that they've seen, outside the Dodgers in a while here. In Milwaukee.
How tall was that pitch on the mound tonight? What, 6'7"?
Well, the velocity that Mizorowski throws. We talked about him last week, Scott. You're going to see the Mizorowski show tonight and this Brewers team.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I mean, just to see what it looks like. It is. They're a good team. I mean, they just continue to do it year after year. And it's not a whole roster. You don't look at 1 through 9 and say it's a bunch of superstar players. But there's just a lot of really solid players up and down the lineup. They mix and match. They pinch hit. I know they've had some injuries and trying to get through it with their pitching mostly. But this is a really good team. And, yes, it is a test. Anytime you come here, you got to play this team on the road. It takes a little bit of work to try to win a series here.
That's why I don't know my life.
It does. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on. As always, have a great weekend in Milwaukee, and we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good. I don't know who she's talking to, but
we're at a golf outing, and people don't know how to act around here. That's the problem.
We're on the radio. I ain't coming here acting like he don't know what the radio station is. He's yelling at folks, man. with his little golf outfit.
Reese?
Oh, that's a nice little outfit.
Yeah, Ike Reese, one of us, acting like, you know, some regular guy around here.
You know, it's been a minute that he's been in radio. He should know how this works.
You would think.
He scared the bejesus out of me.
He forgot who he is and where he came from. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
See you, fellas.
There he goes, Scott Fransky. You know, my favorite part about Scott is he always looks. We love the conversation every week, and he always leaves with like, "What are those guys doing over there?
What's wrong? Yeah, well,
what's wrong with us?"
I think he's kind of used to it.
Well,
now.
He is. Yeah,
because
you know. But today he's trying to answer a question about the Brewers, and you got Ike Reese screaming in the background.
Yeah, that was great.
Poor guy.
We
can't take Ike anywhere.
Can't take him anywhere.
He is 6'7" though. I mean, he's almost as tall as Bryce Harper.
Yeah, Bryce Harper like 6'8".
Yeah, about 6'8", 6'9".
Well, now we're spreading more misinformation.
Yeah.
Bryce is what, 6'3" at the most?
Nah, yeah, he's about 6'10"?
6'5", 6'6".
All right. Ballpark. What's over under for runs scored while Mizorowski's on the mound tonight? Let's be honest with this one. What do we get tonight?
One?
I'm setting it at 2.5.
Ooh.
And for the whole night.
Oh, including the bullpen.
Yeah, 9 innings.
Oh, okay, yeah. He threw 45 pitches at 101 or higher in his last start.
Yeah.
Is he going to last all year? Are we sure?
So I heard an interview with him recently. Someone asked him, like, how do you feel after starts? And I was expecting him to say, like, you know, sore.
Yeah.
He's like, I feel great.
Well,
he's
throwing bullpen-type heat, like Mason Miller, and that's fine if you're only going out there for an inning or two or, you know, every couple days. But, my goodness.
The guy he reminds me of is DeGrom. So that would point to eventually he's going to get hurt.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but his
stuff. Yeah, guys that throw like that, usually they don't last.
Well, the elbow just can't handle that. But he's healthy right now. And actually this weekend, the Phillies tonight can help Christopher Sanchez, too, because – this is the guy he's probably battling with for the Cy Young.
Yeah, this is going to be like the best. His numbers are similar.
Yes.
To Sanchez's.
He has less innings, but way more strikeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the top two right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
So Phillies bats could certainly help out Christopher Sanchez. 215-592-9494. Big V in Mount Laurel's up on WIP. Big V, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
What's up, Big V?
Hey, well, let's get into it.
You got it.
First of all, Joe, I appreciate that, you know, you didn't drink deep from the Spike Eskins, Jalen, you know, Hurts Hate Squad or Kool-Aid.
Sounds gross, but no, I mean, I'm giving you.
Is that worse than beef triangle?
I don't know. Beef triangle is pretty bad. Here's the bottom line, Big V. He gets the season to run the offense, and then we decide after the season. That's all. I'm not quick trigger like Douglas over here benching people.
And listen, Joe, don't get me wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm liking your stance and position, okay? And I do understand that. But you also have to look at the big three. You know, Jeffrey, Howie, and Nick, and what they've done. Since, you know, Jalen has gotten there, they've been working hard at getting someone to actually help with his skill set. And what they've found is that the coaches that they've gotten has not helped him very much progress his skill set, but basically do their plays and fall back to his talent. Now, here's the thing. We won the Super Bowl basically on talent. It's a talented roster. I mean, these guys have got some real good talent. However, once people start watching the tapes and the, you know, and their moves, they found a way to neutralize the talent. To check the boxes on Barkley. They basically, you know, frustrated AJ and you know, with the decline of the offensive line last year, they needed more than talent. So my hope right now is that Mannion will work heavily on Jamin's skill set, the ability to drop back, you know, under center, the ability to, you know, find the open man. And then once they work on the skills, then the talent can bring them back into, you know, Super Bowl contention. But first and foremost, let's work on the foundation.
So what you're saying is Hugh Douglas is wrong. That's what you're saying here? Hugh is wrong.
Close to him, Big V.
No. I'm not saying that he was wrong. So don't put a gun in my hand as Hugh.
What are you afraid of?
But what I'm saying in terms of Hugh, what Hugh did was basically sound the alarms. And the thing with a cautionary tale
is
that
that's exactly what he did.
Done before the
Hugh hit the panic button on June 12th.
I did not hit the panic button.
He broke the panic button.
It's over.
He didn't hit the panic button.
We need a new panic button.
Hugh didn't hit the panic button, so don't put words in my mouth. Hugh exercised a little caution
But what everybody did was listen to his caution, and they panicked on that.
Yes, you're right about that. Hugh tried to tell us to caution. We said he's hitting the panic button. And ultimately, what we say goes. So Hugh's in trouble.
That's how it's been. Big V, I hear you, Big V, but this is how it is every day.
All right, Big V, what do you got for us? Try-day Friday, Big V. Try-day Friday.
You got Joe Gillis.
Calm him down.
All right, enough. Big V, what do you got for us? Try-day Friday, something you love, even though it's not that great.
It's high.
What?
You know, but listen. Look at this. You know, right now we've got – it's a new season. It's a lot of potential. There's a lot of hope. Okay. Yeah. There's
Friday,
a lot of us once again
enough.
Getting into
the Super Bowl. What's your answer? What's your answer for Friday?
Okay. I'd say a 60-ring Cuban cigar and two shots of scotch, you know, with the name Glenn on the label – or probably bourbon.
It's a horrendous answer.
Glenfiddich.
But those
what?
Things are good.
Glenlivet.
Those things. All right. Thank you, Big V.
Glenfiddich.
Aren't those things actually really good?
Yeah. Well,
the idea is something that's not great, but you love it anyway.
Yeah,
those things sound good.
I'm not a fan of cigars either.
No.
Not me neither.
Well, I used to be. I haven't had one.
I will partake. Say if we're out, like we're at a golf outing or something.
Go ahead.
Guys, do a stogie. But I hate the fact that after you smoke it. You smell like smoke for like 2 days.
You do.
I'd rather just rip a heater.
Yeah.
Rip a heater. Not the same thing.
No.
Yeah. No, cigar. I'm way more likely to have a cigar.
Cigar smoke. When you smoke a cigar,
you're not going to rip a heater.
You smell like cigar smoke for 3 days at least. Especially if you're not somebody that, well, I don't have hair, but if I had hair.
Yeah,
you know, you had to wash your hair. You got to just in your clothes stink. It's just a lot.
Picturing Joe out on the course ripping a heater.
Speaking of hair, you're gonna keep your thoughts to yourself on hair,
dude.
What are you talking about?
Well, what do you mean? What am I talking about?
What you mean?
What's been the hair story of the week at WIP?
Oh, Elliot.
Yeah,
Elliot, live your truth, dog. Live your truth. I saw, and you know what's funny? A friend of mine texted me say. When you see Elliot, give him a hug because they're killing him on
poor
Twitter.
Guy.
So he brought the bangs back out in the morning show today.
He did. And
listen,
I
support Elliot on the bangs.
I support him, too, but I'm not hugging him. I'm not hugging him.
What does that do anything?
Because they said give him a hug for me.
Oh.
I'm not giving Elliot a
now,
hug.
Now, do you like his bangs?
No. But it's not for me to like. His wife like them.
That's right.
And they're probably – you know what, Elliot, if you want to be at home role-playing with your wife, man, go ahead.
No. Hold on. Whoa,
is he
going to
role-play as Mark Davis?
Oh, guys.
What you say? He probably is role player Mark Davis.
Stop. We can't do this to him.
Talking about I can make you famous.
Stop.
She's probably like, oh,
stop.
Mark.
Stop.
No,
oh,
no,
stop.
No.
Stop.
No.
We might have to dump this. Stop it.
Ellie, my man. That's my dog.
Stop it. You can't
home.
Mark Davis someone and call him your guy.
He at home getting sassy.
All right, no more.
Sassy Ellie.
Stop. Leave him alone.
No, we're off the air.
Oh, damn. All right, let's go to James at Delaware. What's up, James?
James.
Yes,
James.
Sir.
Hey, James. No, what's up, buddy?
We got off track. So
yes, James. James, you're Hello? Live on the – James, you are live on WIP,
no problem.
James.
No problem.
How are you guys doing today?
Oh, James, we're good. What's up?
This was the hold on line, the longest hold on line I've ever been through.
Yeah, wow. Well, I'm just
this particular,
a lot of people want to talk. You know?
On this particular topic, I wanna ride with you. You
Douglas,
ride on
you're
this.
With Douglas on this one? Come on now.
I'm with Douglas on this. With you on this. Reason being is, as a matter of fact, I have two reasons.
Okay.
If Jalen Hurts is not performing good, after two or three games, they should pull the plug on him. Reason being is, as a matter of fact, I have it too. The first one is, you guys know this city, and you know this fan. Mm. They're going to humiliate Jalen so bad that to the point that some of us, we're going to, get his birth certificate. We rip it off, give him a new birth certificate, give him a new name that start with the first name, mother, and the last name with F. That would be one, that's the first reason.
Well, we're not very patient, James. We're not patient. You're right about that. Patience is not our best attribute.
Second reason is, I mean, do you remember Doug Peterson when he was quarterback in this city?
Yeah, it
we
wasn't great.
We changed his last name to Peterson. Peterson. So I don't want a Jalen to go through that. The second reason is for all the glory, all the excitement, the Super Bowl that young boy brought for us in this city, we should give him a minimum of respect and let him exit with honor. So if he stinks two or three games, let's plug in Andy Dalton there. So at least we fans have somebody to vent our frustration on him.
Oh, so we could boo Andy Dalton. I actually think that makes some sense.
Yep.
Well, he's the sacrificial lamb. I get it.
Because Dalton never done anything for this city. Jalen has.
Of course.
So let's give Jalen a respect. If he's thinking a joint, let's pull him off so he can exit with honor. I rest my case.
No, James, it's
very impressive.
So his take was it's a respectful benching, so we don't have to watch you struggle. And actually,
benching is a benching.
Well, but okay.
Respectful.
If you could go back in time, would it have been more respectful to just bench Ryan Howard rather than the last 3 years we watched him just stink it up? I kind of get his point. Now, is it respectful to watch the guy in street clothes on the sideline while Andy Dalton plays?
Well, see, there's two trains of thought there. Like, you, in Ryan's case, I'm assuming you hope that he works his way out of it.
Yeah, but it was.
Yeah, over. But yeah. You know, it's one of those things, and you know, the players are always the last one to know that you're cooked.
Yeah,
that's just the reality of it.
And that's why sports radio is here to let you know.
we don't even know sometimes, but we can recklessly speculate all we want.
Yes,
we can recklessly speculate.
And we will.
Yeah, that's what we do. But
I never heard that before. Respectful benching. So we don't.
I'm going to steal that.
Bench him. Just be nice about it.
So we don't have to boo you anymore.
A benching is a benching.
But you know what? He's right about.
You can be really like you can. Your tone can be real soft.
Hey,
once you bench someone, we can't criticize your play anymore.
Hey, Jalen.
Hey.
Then we'll get on Dalton. And listen,
Jalen, get your ass on the bench.
If they bench Hurts this year for Dalton, you have to answer Hugh for all of Dalton's performances.
You are the Dalton guy.
You asked for this.
Yeah.
So when he goes 12 of 27 in London. And I'm screaming and yelling. It's your fault.
I did not ask for anything.
This is the whole week.
I like
week.
How this is turned into I'm calling for Andy Dalton.
Listen.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
NFL shop, it's been ordered. The Dalton 2X jersey. it's ordered.
Is that the biggest Dalton jersey ever ordered?
Yeah.
But no, I'm not wishing for Andy Dalton to be out there. I'm rooting for Jalen.
We all are,
offense.
Yeah. But you're just.
But if he doesn't.
Then we know what you're doing.
We don't see Andy Dalton.
You're benching the guy. It's unbelievable. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. All right, Hugh, you know what today is, right?
Friday.
Well, you know, I mean, it is Friday. I'm sorry.
Good job.
Friday?
It's Friday. And you know what we've been doing around here on Fridays for
Talking
the past
trash.
Couple, well, that. Yes. And we also have Fanatics Fancast Fridays.
Hey.
And they're powered by Fanatic Sportsbook. Here's what we're going to do right now. Because, you know, we love you, and we subjected you to Hugh Douglas over here for 2 hours benching the quarterback.
Sorry about that.
It's unbelievable on a Friday. So we're going to make it up to you by giving you a chance to win $100 right now. Kyle, as I start to read this, can you write down the call-in number? Because the contest line.
That's a good
because
call,
Because I was about to give everyone.
Stall them out.
I was about to tell everyone to call in, and I was like, you know what?
I have it. Do you want me to just read it?
Well, you know what? Yes.
All right.
So listen to this number Kyle's going to give you, and then I'll tell you what we're doing with that number.
Here's the call-in number. 445-544-8300.
Okay, that number right now, FanCash Fridays, powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest growing sportsbook. Be the 10th caller on our station contest line, 445-544-8300, for your chance to win $100 in FanCash from Fanatics Sportsbook every Friday. Winning hits different here. All right, coming up, what the heck did A.J. Brown say yesterday that's going to bother us? We'll hit that. Your phone calls and all this. We're live from Jaws' golf outing on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Y'all ever wonder why Fanatics Sportsbook is America's fastest-growing sportsbook? Other sportsbooks, well, their rewards are just the same old, but FanCash, ha-ha, that's the ultimate sports currency. And betting Fanatics lets you stack FanCash. With Fanatics Sportsbook, you get up to 10% FanCash back on wagers, win or lose. You can use your Fancast to unlock the world of Fanatics with unlimited profit boost, exclusive merch, collectibles, game tickets, and so much more. If you want value for your bets, Fanatics will always have your back. Did I also mention they are giving away millions in Fancast this year? With games like Fancast Drop, tap in every Friday to see what the fuss is all about. So switch to the sportsbook that will always give you more to play with. So go check it out for yourself and download the Fanatics Sports app today. Winning hits different over here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Live today, Riverwinds, Ron Jaworski Celebrity Golf Challenge. And it is official. We replaced Hugh Douglas on the show. He went to get some food, maybe to play some golf. He's gone. But I think we have more than an adequate replacement. One eagle out, another eagle in. Ron Jaworski, Jaws, joining us on the Midday Show. Jaws, we're happy to be here once again for the annual outing. How are you?
Great to be with you. Number one, if Hugh's out there trying to play golf, someone's going to get hurt.
There's no question. Mostly him.
I see him coming back. He's got a plate with like four hamburgers on it.
Yep, he's ready to go. Jaws, this is our fourth year being with you. You've been doing this for so long. Tell us about the outing this year and obviously what this is all about.
It's pretty amazing. I sometimes get a little bit choked up when I talk about the success we've had with the Jaws Youth Playbook and what we've done in the community. And he was back in town, so he would pick up four burger plate he got right there.
Hey, but, they got but, that plate. I got that burger with that good Gouda on that old dog.
Got that
Gouda.
But it's the 42nd year, and it's a testament to this community. Not only what my team has done, but this community. And you know, when I think about those early years, we've been doing this, and we never thought we'd get to the point of raising $10 million for at-risk youth in our community. And you guys got a good view here of seeing these kids running around here, their football uniforms on. They're wearing them because we bought them for them.
That's what's up.
And it's amazing. Some kids in some communities just don't get the opportunity to play sports because their parents or that community doesn't have the funds to do it. We're able to help them and give these kids uniforms and coaching and training. And we do so many great things. The committee is amazing. After 42 years, and I think back to some of the guys we had in the beginning, you know, guys like Johnny Unitas were here.
Yeah.
Like Charles Barkley, Dan Marino, Michelle Wee. Each year, and I've always said this is kind of to me something that's symptomatic of Philadelphia. They want to support the community. And Brandon Graham's coming in. All the guys year in and year out support it. And it's not only one or two guys. It's the Eagles organization.
Yep.
It's the Flyers. It's the Sixers. It's the Union. They all get involved. Players from all the sports understand what a great community this is, and they'd love to help. So I couldn't be more thankful to this community for what they've taught me.
Well, we're thankful to you, Jaws, for all the years of this and giving back, and thankful that we could be here and catch up with you and celebrate this and talk a little football. And, Jaws, mini camp in the books now, right? A little time off for the Eagles. They'll come back in training camp. Well, very curious your perspective on the new offense they're putting in. Sean Mannion, we know the scheme he's come from, learning under Sean McVay, working with Matt LaFleur. What's your thought on this offense, which has become very prevalent around the NFL, but this is now the first time we're going to see it here in Philadelphia with the Eagles. Your thought on the Mannion hire and this scheme?
I like the Sean Mannion hire. And, you know, the NFL is an ever-changing league. If you stay static, the team's going to run right by it. If you look at 2 years ago, the Eagles win the Super Bowl. They win it by running the football and playing great defense. Yep. The Seattle Seahawks last year, they won the Super Bowl. What did they do? They ran the football and they played good defense. Now, there are teams that rely on offensive cage that wins it, but I think the foundation of football has never changed. The essence of the game is being physical, not someone on their backside. And I think to a certain degree, we lost our physicality on that offensive line last year, which is absolutely imperative to be successful. So I think it's team number one. We'll get back to the running game. I think the offensive line will be healthier. The defense has been a constant. It's been rock solid under Vic Fangio. But the offense, I think, will change. If anyone has watched Sean Mannion's offense or where he's been, which I can say I have, and I've talked to coaches he's worked with, and I get my really advice from coaches that worked with him, players that worked with him, mm-hmm. and he's a very creative guy. But one thing that they all said, he will be the hardest working coach on the staff. That's an interesting statement.
Yeah,
for young.
Yeah.
These are coaches that coached with him.
Sure.
At organization, he's been. I'm not going to name those guys because it wouldn't be fair to them. They told me what a hard worker he was. He's one of those guys that's first in the office. To John Gruden, set the clock at 3:15, and that's when you get up and you go to work, and you're working until 11, 12 o'clock at night, like Dick Vermeil, who's out here, by the way, supporting this event, talking to everybody. But that's what you have to do. That's what a coach has to do, and he has that pedigree. Now, I can't tell you what this offense is going to do. I think I know. But we won't know till we start playing games, preseason games. And then you still won't know till the first regular season game because in the preseason, no one shows anything.
Yeah, they ain't going to show you anything.
They ain't going to show you anything. So I'm excited about week one against the Commanders, and then we'll see what this offense will be. But it will be different. How are we different? We got to watch the tape.
How do you view Jalen Hurts's game as it molds into the system, at least what we know about it, right? Because Jalen's had a lot of success here, but this is different than, you know, Jalen. You think of Jalen Hurts, you think of shotgun. You think you're seeing the whole field. And, you know, in terms of holding the football, he holds it more than most quarterbacks. And a lot of times he uses legs, he moves, throws the ball down the field, that makes a lot of plays. This system, Josh, from the way I see it, is a little more timing, a little more getting the football out. How do you think Jalen will adapt to the new system?
I think he'll be fine. I think Jalen is a very, very good quarterback. I think in the system he will get a better chance to do it. I'm going to give you my opinion of how I think they should make changes.
Yeah.
I think he needs to be under center more. And if you brought Dick Vermeil in here, who's a Hall of Fame coach, he'd probably tell you there's got to be more under center. It creates a problem for the defense.
Because it freezes everything.
More options. Yes. More options. Turn your back to defense. Now, that's a negative to the quarterback, but also it makes it – when you run play-action pass, when you come out of your fake, it's got to come out quick. So you're not taking a full field read. The play-action is fake the ball, turn your head, and it's either go here or here. Either here or here. So that ball is out quickly. When you're reading full field, it's a lot more difficult. You're reading safeties, linebackers, corners, all at the same time in your drop back. So I think the fact that the play-action pass game under center will be beneficial, and I think it will be a major part of this offense. And But Saquon's got to adjust to it too. And, we'll find out where he is at. I know Jalen likes to be in the shotgun. I think it limits your offense productivity. And I know Saquon would love to get the ball not 6 yards deep in the backfield, get him 4 yards near the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And the big difference last year was – before contact. He got hit way too often before a two-yard gain.
Yep. Well,
2 years ago when he won the Super Bowl, I think it was like 4.1 yards contact.
He was in the second.
He was off to the races,
the
So, Ron Jaworski with us. Ron Jaworski, Celebrity Golf Outing. We're here at Riverwinds in Deptford. Great outing every single year. Jaws, as we look forward to this thing, it's hard not to look back because the move the Eagles made a week ago. A.J. Brown officially traded to the New England Patriots. Jaws, now that it's over, now that, you know, it's no more speculation, no more maybe they're going to trade him. He's gone. He's off the team. How do you view the new receiver group they put together? Devontae Smith, I think he's ready to take that mantle as the number one. And then it's a whole lot of new behind him, right? It's Mekhi Lemon, the first-round pick out of USC. It's Da'Tavion Wicks, who I think is an interesting player coming from Green Bay. Where
very
Manny
good
was.
Acquisition. I would agree with you there. I think you're going to see a quicker passing game. You know, A.J. was a big, strong wide receiver. 50-50 balls were his what he did best.
Yep. Yeah.
I think as I'm trying to envision what this team is going to be like you guys do every single day. We don't know. And anyone that says they know right now, hey, you can look at Green Bay, look at Minnesota, had this summer somewhat similar style of offense. But we don't know what it's going to be. But I love the fact that Lemon is a guy, he's a good slot receiver. When's the last time we've got a good slot receiver in town?
It's been a while.
But he's not the fastest guy, but he is very quick. And I always say this about wide receivers, can they control their body? When you look at tape of guys, can they control their body? The ball is backside shoulder, out in front. He was phenomenal at SC of catching those kinds of balls. So you don't have to make a perfect throw every single time. His body control was phenomenal. So I think you're going to see a shorter, quicker pass game. And Jalen just had to learn to get the ball out quick, and that'll be fine. But I like that we're going to see something different and the tight end more involved. We got to get more explosive plays out of the tight end. And it doesn't have to be 50 yards down the field. Look at the teams that have had great success with tight end. It's a short, quick passing game.
Jaws, how long do you think it realistically will take for them to feel comfortable? Because this is new, right? It's a new blocking scheme up front. It's new for Jalen, some new piece at wide receiver. You know, we're not a very patient town, Jaws. I mean, know that.
Really?
You know it.
Hey, I've been booed by 70,000, cheered by 70,000 about 10 minutes apart.
What's realistic in terms of how long until it starts to click? Is this something where we have to have some patience through September? Should we expect it week one? And now the backdrop is, Jaws, they don't play in the preseason, right? In the old days, you guys play a little bit preseason, you got it down a little bit. How long do you think it will take them to feel comfortable in a brand new scheme?
Well, I would say normally it would take time, but they don't have time. Mm. They don't have time. This is a very impatient town. It was not a good year last year, the way we ended the season with the loss. It was not a good way to end the season. People are impatient. They think this is a good football team. I think it's a good football team. How good? I think we're all going to find out. But, you know, the Commanders got better. The Giants got better, and the Cowboys got better.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think we got to be realistic as we approach it. You know, hey, we know we don't like those teams, but you got to be realistic. We can't go out and say, oh, we need 4 weeks to figure this out. No, you're going to open up against the Commanders. I'm thinking that way down the road, Dallas on a Thanksgiving Day. We got all kinds of games against our rivals.
Rams, Seahawks. There's some tough teams in there.
Really good teams. So there is no, give us the first quarter of the season. Let's figure this out. No, week one against the Commanders, we better come out ready to play football.
Who do you view as the team to beat? Seattle won it last year. The Rams offseason is just wild. I mean, to get McDuffie and then to get Miles Garrett. Yeah. They feel to me, Jaws, like the best team on paper in the NFL. How do you view the NFC, NFL entering the season?
Well, I think they were the best team last year as well, and they did win the Super Bowl. So, you know, they're a good football team. Miles Garrett, you talk to this guy about that position. Hugh Douglas, he played that at a Hall of Fame level. You watch Miles Garrett, he dominates a football game.
Yes, he does.
Takes over a football game. I played against Lawrence Taylor twice a year for 10 years of my career when I was with the Eagles. He dominated from the defensive side. You had to know where he was every single play, and how are you going to account for him with two blockers? Well, now you bring in Miles Garrett. Their Ram defense is going to be special, and their offense is very, very good. So I think the Rams is the team to beat.
You know, I didn't expect to ask you about this, but we've had a conversation all week because we're just trying to unpack the whole thing. Eagles had Tanner McKee as their number two, and I think he's been a good development quarterback when he's come in and play. I think he's played pretty well. And then they brought in Andy Dalton this offseason. What do you make of that, and what's your guess on who the number two quarterback will be? Andy's got all this experience, but he's older. But McKee's been in this, you know, with this team now for a few years. What would you make of the Dalton acquisition and who the number two might be?
I actually like the move, and I like Tanner McKee as well. But I think Andy Dalton brings a different element at the quarterback position, a veteran, experienced guy that's played in a lot of systems, and he's still a very talented quarterback. When he has been called to win two or three games at Carolina or find a way to win a game, not as a starting quarterback, he has done that. But I think from Jalen's perspective, he has somebody he could lean on, someone you could talk to. There's a relationship that a player and a coach has, but it's a player-coach relationship. You got an Andy Dalton come to the side, and he's seen it all right now.
Right.
This guy's in his late 30s. He's seen it all. He's been productive everywhere he's been. I know Andy very, very well. He's an awesome guy. He's a team player. He's not going to push. He's going to push Hurts not for the starting. He's going to push him to be better, not to take his job. And I think that's why you bring in a veteran quarterback. Tanner McKee was not going to push Jalen Hurts. It just wasn't going to happen. But you're going to bring in Andy Dalton. He will push him, and he'll be also a guy that he can be a sounding board for Jalen on the side. What are you looking at? What are you seeing? I think Andy brings that calmness that a veteran quarterback likes to have.
So, Jaws, what do we think? Maybe next year you're going to get Hugh Douglas on the course? I mean, he's dressed for golf today.
You know, I'm getting better, Jaws. You know, last time
I got to get
here,
the shirt.
He's
got that Brian Dawkins shirt.
Yeah, the Impact shirt. Yeah.
Well, I just had it. Yeah, I got to get a shirt.
And Doc does great things, too.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm getting my golf. This is my golf time. I got to get into the
game. What about your play? You got to get out there.
You know what? I'm going to look good playing.
Look good.
I mean, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to play good, but I'm going to look good.
You got to look good.
But I'm going to look good.
But you got to play good, too.
You
got to look good, but you got to play good.
I got to work yourself.
I think next year, we start Hugh at a 7 o'clock tee time, and he rolls in here when he's done.
Yeah. I can get Hugh some lessons.
There we go.
One of our Ron Jaworski golf courses. We got you covered.
We'll film those. We'll put that on YouTube.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Bring the camera.
Yes. Jaws, thank you so much, one, for letting us be here again, and two, for everything you do for the community and be on the show today.
Thanks for your support. This is a great community with great sport teams and great fans, and I love to be with you guys. Thank
you. Ron Jaworski with us.
You guys are the best, man.
Thank you. There he goes, Jaws.
Hall of Famer Hugh.
Hall of Famer Hugh. Philadelphia Sports Hall of Famer Hugh Douglas. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Friday. We're live today at Ron Jaworski's Celebrity Golf Challenge. Hugh, it's interesting hearing Jaws' perspective on the offense, the team, and the patience thing. Because, Hugh, I think there's a segment of – and it's realistic. Like, it's going to take some time, but do we have the patience to have patience?
And Jaws says something that even when I started talking about this that I talked about.
Yep.
This is a Super Bowl contending team. You don't have the luxury of time. It's not fair, but that's why your quarterback makes the big bucks.
Well, that's true.
And the thing that we have to understand when it comes to the NFL that don't correlate is time and money. Because if you're making all that money, you don't have time to learn the offense. You have to hit the ground running because that's what's expected of you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because we're talking about the guy that's the Air Marshal, Sky Marshal.
Well,
the Sky Marshal. And the Sky Marshal.
That's only for some people.
The Sky Marshal has to do it. Like, he has to get it done. And you know, I know you guys, when I say stuff like, well, why does it have to be like that?
To.
Because it has to be.
Well.
That's this situation.
I will say, and, I, you know, we had company. So, but he did throw a little cold water on your Andy Dalton thing.
Not really.
Well, he did. He said he's here to be a mentor.
No, he said not to start. But he also said that Jalen Hurts has to pick this offense up day one, like the first game of the season.
Yeah, I could want a lot of things. Yeah. That's just not going to happen because I want it to happen.
I mean, you know, I want bangs now. Can't get them. But I want them.
Elliot has all the bangs you need.
Yeah, listen. Elliot got bangs. Elliot, wear them. Hey, dog, if you listen,
no,
wear your bangs.
No, you can't
man.
Say that now.
Elliot, wear your
we
bangs.
We told him we would support him, and then you,
and
did,
I
not,
am supporting.
You did not
now,
support him. You compared him to Mark Davis.
Listen, some of my
that's
listen,
not a support.
I compared him to Mark Davis.
My it came up. Elliot, I'm sorry, man.
Some of my best friends I ridicule on a regular because I love you. Love you, Elliot. You look like Mark Davis Jr.
We ridicule you every single day on the show.
No.
Love you guys.
He doesn't look like Mark Davis.
He looked like little Mark Davis when he was younger.
It's Mark Davis-esque.
Little Mark Davis is a complete and total insult.
It's not an insult.
Mark
Davis
is
a better looking Mark.
Do you think he prefers young Daryl Morey or a young Mark Davis?
Daryl Morey.
I mean, he was like he went from the Morey look to the Mark Davis look.
Would you rather look like Daryl Morey or Mark Davis?
Well, Mark Davis
Mark Davis got
Mark
bread.
Mark Davis still around.
Daryl Morey stole $12 million a year from the Sixers. He's plenty of bread too.
No, listen. Mark Davis met his wife, and she said she didn't know who he was when she met him. Yeah, that's the type of woman I want.
That's a lie. Yeah, that's
always the hallmarks of
you
really
think Mark
Davis'
good-looking wife didn't know he was rich?
Hey, dog.
What do you think about that?
No idea. She saw those bangs
It ain't too many people using a Flowbee to cut their hair, and that's him.
A what?
Y'all remember the Flowbee? You remember the Flowbee?
I don't know what
that
is.
Flowbee?
You remember the Flowbee? Taz, me and Taz
like for
don't
the bowl,
have hair.
It's like for bowl
but it's
haircut?
For the ball. Like the Flowbee was a thing you could use. You couldn't mess up your haircut. Yeah. It was like a Flowbee. Yeah. Like you just put in your hair.
You
and
still use the Flowbee?
Well, Joe, I don't use the Flowbee.
Oh, wow.
But people used to use the Flowbee.
Are Flowbees still a thing? That's the question.
I think if you look it up, it's probably on that nostalgic TV commercial thing where they talk about old TV commercials.
Oh, Flowbee. With Flowbee, at-home haircuts have never been easier.
Yes. Oh. He cut his hair with a Flowbee.
You know, between the two of you and Taz now today.
We got the three. The ball.
Come on, that's what I'm saying.
The ball coalition.
We have some nerve commenting on a coworker's hair. We have none. I mean, just like not an ounce.
Little Mark Davis over in the building. Little Mark Davis. Hey, where is he at?
This is an HR violation. I can feel it. I can feel calling a coworker little Mark Davis.
We are lucky Elliot's cool.
Yeah, we are lucky.
Now, Elliot, wear your hair, man. Listen,
how could he wear it after what you just said?
He knows he looked like little Mark Davis.
The next time we see him, he will not have the bangs.
He better have a bang.
No, think about what happened this week. He was insecure about the bangs, right?
They
he told us about it. He brought them back today on the morning show, and you called him little Mark Davis. We won't ever see him in bangs again.
If I had hair, I would rock the bangs. That looked pretty.
You would not.
Yes, I would.
You've had hair. Have you ever rocked bangs?
I used to have a shag, though. Remember the shag? No. The shag is the black man mother. I used to have a shag. I had a shag. And somebody out there, shout out to somebody
was
out there.
Central State, Douglas?
In Radio Land that know what a shag is. No, this is more like in high school.
High school.
Yeah, had a shag.
Hurricane Hugh had a shag.
Hurricane Hugh had a shag.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Business in the front, party in the back.
All right, let's go to D in Glassboro to help with the nonsense. Good afternoon, D.
Wait. So you guys are just trying to get me to say bang on the radio again.
Well, no, now that's not true. I mean,
No, really, if anything, we're trying to pry things out of Hugh so that we can cut them into drops later.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening.
like when he did, Mark Davis.
Little Mark Davis in the building.
That's kind of mean. And you know what?
I agree.
It is not mean. I love Elliot.
It's mean to do to a coworker and a friend.
Sassy Elliot.
Go ahead, D.
Yeah. Yeah. And as for Mark Davis's wife not knowing who he is, that is a bold-faced lie.
Nobody
would look at him and be like, "Ooh, let me get with that."
Yeah, he looked different.
If he did not already know he had money.
Yeah, or if she's not blind. Yeah, either way. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I guess I'm willing to be patient with Jalen. I'm willing to give him like most of the season to figure it out as long as he's improving throughout. But if it's bad, it's bad.
And I think everything with this is going to be in like the eye of how we see it. And we could feel one way today. We could feel a different way in November or December. When we first brought this up, D, and Hugh was bringing up, like, October, I just need more than that. I need a good amount of the season to get information to figure out if he's the guy. Because if they bench him in October the way Hugh has suggested, that just feels too early to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a prove-it season for Jalen. And as long as if he can prove it, then I love it.
Well, and they would, too. Then he would be the guy. All right, D, what do you got for us? Give us something you love, even though you know it's not that great.
Okay. I love it. I know most people think it's disgusting, but spam.
Spam.
Oh, spam's
good. I love spam.
Yeah, spam is ice. When you fry that thing up.
It's a good one. That's like a guilty pleasure food.
Put some cheese on
now,
the thing.
Now, is this like an old school thing, or do you still actively eat spam?
Oh, I absolutely actively eat spam because spam is a Hawaiian thing. Like, everybody in Hawaii eats spam.
Yes.
You can go to McDonald's and get spam.
So I went to Hawaii on my honeymoon, and yeah, you're right. Spam is like a normal thing there.
Yep. I didn't know it wasn't normal everywhere because, like, we always just ate it in my house. So then I started offering it to friends. They let me know it was, in fact, disgusting.
Not an everyday.
I rock out with spam.
No, it's a good one, though. D, good phone call. Have a great weekend. When was the last time you had some spam, Hugh?
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah?
But I mean, it's
maybe tonight
not,
on the ride to Ohio?
Nah.
Spam?
Nah.
Spam's, you know, it's kind of like just like a junk food for us. It's pretty big in, like, Philippines and, like, Hawaii
well, I think
and stuff.
That gets the Hawaii connection.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
She's like right. You can get it, like, at a convenience store or a McDonald's there. It's just, like, this is a thing.
So with the obviously, there's a limit to the Jalen thing. Like, if it's really ugly late in the season – and at a certain point, you're just like, let's pull the plug on this thing and just run. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was so bad.
It's almost like a pitcher that you know the game's over. You're letting him wear a few innings of runs. But eventually, you're still like, all right, let's get this guy out.
I think the pitcher's an interesting analogy. Yeah. Like, Hugh's the manager on the phone in the second inning.
Oh, he's Gabe Kapler pulling Nola.
Well, and I'm a Gabe guy, but that's – you're right. You're the new Gabe Kapler.
No, Hugh Kapler.
But the reality is, right now – there's no expectations, but when the season starts, there's going to be expectations for this football team.
That's
and it begins and ends with the quarterback as of right now.
It does.
Especially if everybody else is looking like they're picking it up.
All right, 215-592-9494. Live today, Ron Jaworski, Celebrity Golf Challenge. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to your phone calls. Tri-Day, Jalen Hurts. Hugh would pull the plug if it's bad during the season. I'd give him the full year, even if it's not great. I want to see all 17 games of Hurts in this new offense. Your phone calls on all this, and – we will get to what A.J. Brown said yesterday up in New England. He's just taking shots left and right now. I mean, this guy, he's got some nerve. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you could trade the entire tournament on Kalshi. On Kalshi, you can trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. It starts tonight, the United States and Paraguay. And right now, win the whole thing. France, they're about 17%. A $100 trade on France pays out over $550 to win the entire tournament. Kalshi trade against peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you can buy in and out of your position for a limited time. Download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade $10. KALSHI. Kalshi, trade the beautiful game.